Welcome back to Pracademically Speaking, where research meets the real world and where we bring research to life from the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. Today's episode is all about personal growth, and I mean that in more than one way. We just wrapped up an evaluation of the department's personal growth program for technical parole violators, and we've got some interesting findings to share on its impact on recidivism. But we're also talking about another kind of growth, the professional kind. My guest today is Dr. Amber Pekus, our current postdoctoral fellow with Penn State University. She's not only been leading this evaluation, but also has her own journey of personal and professional growth during her time with us. We'll ask her about her experience working as a researcher inside a state correctional system and about what future fellows can look forward to as she winds down her time with us. So stick around as we dive into the intersection of research, practice, and professional development, all through the lens of personal growth. Well, hello, I'm Brett Buckland, the host of Pracademically Speaking, a conversation where ideas and numbers get real. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Amber Pekus, a postdoctoral fellow who has been with the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections for nearly 2 years, right, Amber?
Nearly three.
You've heard a bit about Amber on previous episodes. You've heard her voice on this podcast. Today, I'm going to talk with her about her experience as a postdoctoral fellow with us. And I also want to ask her about the results of a recent program evaluation that she spearheaded for us. The program's called Personal Growth, and it's a program for technical parole violators. So, Dr. Pekus, great to speak with you. Looking forward to our discussion.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start out with you, and let's hear about your background and what got you to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections for a postdoctoral fellow.
Right. How did I end up here? So I am originally from Metro Detroit. I did my bachelor's in psychology and my master's in criminal justice at Michigan State. Then I went and got a PhD at the University of Cincinnati. And then I was looking for an experience that would let me do research in conjunction with a corrections department, with some type of agency. So I found you guys. You were happened to be hiring when I was looking for a job, which is kind of awesome.
And the position is actually a joint position with Penn State. So
yes,
we share you with Penn State.
Yes.
And I guess technically you're employed by Penn State.
Yes. And I don't know if the readers know what a postdoctoral scholar is, but what it means is when you finish your doctorate, it's like a position you can go work at that helps you get more experience for a few years as a researcher.
And the goal is?
To try to further your career, to gain more experience, get more expertise, share your expertise with the people that you're working for, stuff like that.
Sure. So tell us about some of the things you've been working on so far.
Yeah. So I work with the DOC doing evaluations of programs, policies, whatever they are working on at the time. We've done, I don't even know, probably 10 evaluations since I've been here, something like that, that I've helped out with. And then we've also worked, or I've been working on some of my own research type stuff. So I've been working on geriatric parole things, which basically are older people who are in prison or coming out, and trying to look at policies across the U.S. that allow older people to be released earlier, and then also what their recidivism looks like when they come out of prison. That's been my big project while I've been here. And yeah, I've had a lot of experiences that have been really great.
What's been your most interesting project or fun project that you worked on?
Here?
Yeah.
Well, we also did an innovation day that I thought was pretty cool. But we basically brought together a bunch of people from outside the DOC to meet with people inside the DOC,
yeah,
and have lots of conversations about ways to improve practice. And that was pretty cool.
And we did an episode on Innovation
Day. I forgot about that, yes.
Live and in person from the event.
Yes, we did.
Which was a very successful event. And
it was great.
You did a whole lot to help coordinate that event.
I did, yes. Yes, I did. So that was great to be able to see, kind of bring those two worlds together. I'm a bridge right now. That's my position between academia, the Penn State side, and the DOC side, this more applied place. So it was cool to have an event that also was sort of a bridge between research and practice, like this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, and as I mentioned, you've been on the podcast before. We're going to come back to your career, but let's transition to one of your most recent projects that we're talking about today, which is the Personal Growth Program. Tell us about what the Personal Growth Program is and set up the evaluation that we conducted. Tell us about the program, who receives it, what were the main questions that we're looking at in this evaluation?
Yeah, so Personal Growth is a program for TPVs, technical parole violators.
What are technical parole violators?
So those are people who are paroled from prison, and then there's rules that you have to follow when you're on parole, and basically if you break those rules, you can be sent back to prison.
Okay,
and
so
you're a parole violator.
So not necessarily for a new crime,
mm-hmm.
but for
breaking the rules
of curfew.
Right. No drug use. You have to be employed. You have to have a certain house. There's lots of different rules,
right,
and they
right.
can vary by person. But yep, if you break them, you can end up back in prison.
Okay, got it. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. So Personal Growth is a program that is given to all TPVs, parole violators, when they come back to the DOC. And it's sort of the core treatment program that all violators are supposed to get when they come back for a violation. It's grounded in YIL theory, which is a behavioral framework that's centered on empathy, connection, and accountability. It takes about 90 days minimum to complete. And what we were doing was looking at how people, or how effective, what the impact is of personal growth. And we did that by comparing people who got personal growth, their recidivism, to people who didn't get personal growth, didn't get a core treatment program for parole violators. And we also compared people who got personal growth to people who got an older program that used to be around before personal growth called Back on Track Inside, to look at their recidivism too.
And what impact are we specifically looking for here? What's the outcome that we're looking at?
Yeah, so the idea is supposed to be that getting this program will help you reduce your recidivism, specifically reduce violations in the future, right? So hopefully you won't violate again when you're on parole. That would be a success. You would have less or no longer have rule violations for your parole.
Okay, now how do we set up an evaluation like that? You mentioned there are two groups that we're looking at, or
yeah.
two comparisons.
Yeah.
So we're looking at one comparison of people who got the Personal Growth Program mm-hmm. to people, technical parole violators,
yes.
who didn't, for whatever reason, they were supposed to get it, but they didn't get it.
Right, that's so comparison one.
Comparison one.
Yep.
And why wouldn't they have received it? Just maybe ran out of time, or
yep, they okay. might have been released too early. They might have not been in they might not have been in prison long enough. There's many different reasons why you
yeah.
might not have gotten it. But the idea is that you were eligible. You could have gotten it. You maybe should have gotten it, but you didn't for whatever reason during
yep.
your incarceration for your violation.
Okay, so that's analysis one, comparing those two groups. And then analysis two is looking at the predecessor to Personal Growth,
yep.
which was, what was the name of that program?
Back on Track Inside.
Okay,
yep.
And so before, and when did we switch to using the Personal Growth program?
In, I believe, November of 2021.
Okay, so before that, we were using a program called Back on Track Inside
yep.
for this same group.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How, in a just general overview, how do those programs differ? Or did they not differ much?
So they differ in sort of the theories that they're grounded in. Back on Track Inside is grounded in evidence-based correctional practices.
Okay.
I don't know if we want to go into all of this.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but importantly, so
yeah,
the analysis is two analysis.
Yes.
One is comparing back on tra- or I'm sorry, personal growth
yes.
to those who didn't get anything,
yes.
essentially. The other is personal growth to kind of a side-by-side between those two curriculum.
Yes.
The old curriculum, back on track inside, and the new curriculum, personal
yes.
growth.
Okay. And the old curriculum and new curriculum, the personal growth and back on track inside, have differences in the types of ideas that they're grounded in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How do you do that comparison? Yeah.
So what we did is we tried to match people between those two groups. So for this, the first analysis we're talking about, analysis one, you have, like we said, people in the personal growth program. They are going to have certain characteristics, and then people in that didn't get the personal growth program, they're also going to have certain characteristics. And the idea is to match the people between the two groups so that they look as similar as possible. So you're trying to find matches in your people who got personal growth program on demographics like gender, age, things like that, or criminal characteristics, criminal legal characteristics like the type of offense that you originally had, how many times you've been incarcerated before. You're trying to find as close of a match as possible in the other group, in the we did not get any personal growth group. And then the idea is to compare the outcomes between those two groups and to see if on those matches, one group did better than the other.
Okay, so a simple way would be, let's say Amber took personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for a similar Amber who did not take personal
Correct.
Growth.
Correct, yes.
And so that the only difference is Amber 1 took personal growth
yes.
and Amber 2 did not.
Yes.
And you can isolate the impact of personal growth that way because mm-hmm. the two Ambers look the same other than one got personal growth and the other didn't.
Yes, that's
okay.
perfect. That's a
great, is that a good summary
great
of that?
Way to okay. explain
All right.
that. Absolutely.
Okay. Excellent. All right. So that sets up the evaluation. We're going to have to take a quick break here, but when we get back, we'll continue our discussion, get into the results of personal growth, and come back to your professional growth. And so stay with us. We'll be back right after the break.
You're listening to Pracademically Speaking, a production of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. Please share or cite any of the guests or content you hear on this podcast, but do not alter the audio in any way. Check for resources or publications mentioned in this episode in the show notes. Now, back to the host.
We're back with Dr. Amber Petkus, our current postdoctoral fellow at the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. And we've been discussing her career, specifically her postdoctoral fellow experience with us. And we also heard a little bit about a program that she has been involved in evaluating most recently, called the Personal Growth Program. And she explained a little bit to us before the break about what that program is and how she went about evaluating the program. So we want to go into, Amber, now what you found. Talk us through the results of that evaluation. You explained very nicely to us how you set up that evaluation, what questions we were looking to answer. And so what did we find? What were the results?
So at 6 months, at a six-month follow-up period, that means we followed people for 6 months after they got released from incarceration back in the community to see what happened. At 6 months, there was no significant difference between either the group that got personal growth and did not get personal growth or the group that got personal growth and got the predecessor program that back on track.
So no difference in either of those two analyses, no
Correct.
Difference between essentially getting nothing and no difference between the old back on track mm-hmm. inside curriculum.
Yeah, at okay. least at 6 months.
Yep. At least at 6 months, mm-hmm. yeah.
Follow up. Yes, so what does that mean? So what it does, what that means is that at 6 months follow up, we are not seeing a reduction in recidivism from getting personal growth. We're not showing that it actually reduces recidivism in the way that we might have hoped.
How confident are you in those findings?
Okay. So in one of the comparisons that we did, we ran a ton of different analyses, okay, with different follow-up periods, different times. But in one of the comparisons, we did see that personal growth had lower recidivism than no personal growth. But again, that difference wasn't what we call significantly different. So that basically means we can't be confident that it's real, that it's not due to some type of fluke.
So it was a few percentage points lower, but not what you call statistically significant.
Yeah, we can't be confident that difference is meaningful,
okay.
even though we saw maybe a small difference,
right?
Yep. So we tried to do some type of, we did a, what's called a sensitivity analysis to say, hey, we're not seeing that this difference is meaningful, but like, what would have to happen to make it meaningful? So because we did, like we talked about earlier, matching, you know, our analysis is only as good as the things that we've matched on, right? It's possible that we forgot to match on something or we didn't know to match on something. And so we can do these sensitivity analyses to see, hey, if we left something out, like what kind of stuff, how much stuff would we have to leave out for this difference to become meaningful? And we saw that there's a pretty significant amount of stuff that would have to exist for us to have left it out. I can't
remember. So it would take a lot to overturn those findings, basically.
Yeah. I would say they're moderately robust.
Okay.
We can be pretty confident. It would take a lot of stuff to, that we would have had to leave out a lot of things.
Yeah.
For us to find a meaningful difference at 6 months.
Okay, so in light of those findings, maybe give us your opinion of what the department might want to consider in terms of responding to this evaluation.
Yeah, so they might want to consider the types of programs that they're giving to people. Maybe not everybody needs this particular program, all the violators. Maybe they want to consider revamping the program, redesigning the program, studying it further. There's a lot of different ways that they could go, but basically, at least at 6 months follow-up, the personal growth program right now doesn't seem for parole violators in general to be reducing future recidivism.
Well, and I find it interesting that in the one first comparison, those who didn't get any programs also just did just as well. So maybe some of them don't even need programming.
It's very possible. Yeah. There is, you know, there's a lot of literature about correctional treatment, and there's a lot of people would suggest that one-size-fits-all programs sometimes are not very effective, or might not be as effective as more tailored programs. So it's possible some people don't need them. It's also possible maybe, you know, there's a specific subtype of people that need it or something like that.
Yeah, okay. So let's land the plane. I want to come back to your postdoctoral fellow. We're coming full circle. We're all talking about growth, personal and professional.
Yep.
And I want you to reflect on your time as a postdoctoral fellow. Could you leave us with some reflections about your time? Some maybe inspirational words, because we're going to be recruiting the next postdoctoral fellow.
Yes, we are.
So I'm hoping that listeners, this is an advertisement for the postdoctoral fellow, and hopefully you have good things only to say about your fellowship experience, but leave us some inspirational words, some reflections on your time. What would you say to potential postdoctoral fellows?
Yeah, I mean, my time has been very valuable. It's been an extremely rewarding experience for me. I came to the DOC because you guys are a large state agency. You have a wealth of data, and you're also leaders kind of in the field of correctional research. So it's been really great to be able to kind of work as an embedded researcher, like day-to-day working with your office, Brett, and learning about lots of different agency and staff perspectives on research. So super valuable. I've learned a lot. So my advice to anybody who's considering this is that if you are interested in doing research that has real policy and practical implications, or you're interested in learning more about the decision making inside agencies, or you know, learning more about practitioner partnerships, fantastic experience. There's so many opportunities. So I would think about what you want to do at a time. Expose yourself to everything that you possibly can. Just dive right in and soak everything up, because you could really make this experience anything that you want. It's an awesome opportunity. I heavily recommend it.
Real policy and practical implications. That's what we're all about on Pracademically Speaking. Well, Amber, we're out of time. So grateful for your time with us as a postdoctoral fellow.
Thank you.
You've accomplished a lot for us, and just really appreciate your time with us and being on the other end of the podcast today, not interviewing someone, but being interviewed. And I'm confident we're going to have you back on at some point, whether it's before you finish up with us or in your next stage of your career. But thank you for reflecting on your personal and professional growth and the personal growth program that you just evaluated. Listeners, thank you for joining in, and join us in a few weeks for the next episode of Pracademically Speaking.
Thanks for listening. Check out Pracademically Speaking wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. This is the conversation where ideas and numbers get real, on the ground and in practice. Pracademically Speaking is a production of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections.